You have to go to finance if you can do the budget.
You know what? I do not at this moment. Let me actually, where did, here. I think I do. Ha! Huh, how's this? We can use that.
All right. We're going to call the meeting to order, and we will start with our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Today I pledge.
I would like to note for the record that we do not have a quorum. However, we are going to proceed with our meeting more informally, and we'll just go through item by item. As Dr. Marinucci has issued the agenda for today. So, Dr. Marinucci, is there any reason for us to go into executive session?
There is not.
Okay. And so, if we don't have a forum, we will not entertain a motion or anything to approve the minutes from the last time, but we will take notice that we do have the minutes prepared from the last meeting that was held in January. On January 21st, do we have any members of the public here today for a public comment? Okay, moving right along, Dr. Marinucci, was there anything that you wanted to reference with respect to any legal matters?
We do not have a need to, we don't have a legal issue to present for board approval at this time.
Thank you. And now at this time, if you want to review, Dr. Marinucci, the finance and web report?
Absolutely. So everyone should have received a copy of the financial package, and I'm going to start at the beginning, more the high level, with the web funding report. What you can see from that web funding report is that on this page, when we say negatives, that's a good thing. It means we received more money than we anticipated receiving. And what you will also see is that we have received 100% of our anticipated state funding at this point. So we're now operating with a more tried and true budget, with knowing what our operations amount is and knowing what our local funds that we're receiving were. So again, on the local fund side, the only place that we're still anticipating receiving revenue is on the food service. So we're still, you know, we're turning in the expenses, and then we're receiving back the food service money. We also, let's see, we've received all of the other funds in the local fund side that we were anticipating receiving. And in addition to that, we've received all of the federal funds that we were anticipating receiving. So we are now operating with all funds received. The only change that you will see between now and the next board meeting is that we have finally received the $750,000 grant that we wrote. So that will fall in under federal funds for the next board meeting. We currently have the funds, but it wasn't in place at the time of this reporting date. So you will see an increase of $750,000, and then you will also see an increase in the CARES funds, because we are receiving additional CARES funds in the amount of a little over $600,000. So you will see that happening as well. So our total, our all funds total, will increase again because of those two amounts that are coming to our school. What you'll also see is at the bottom, the total of the board approved budget for the different operating budget descriptions. And I think it's really nice to note that we have a contingency of the $712,979, and we have an unallocated $60,545. So that unallocated amount will end up being allocated throughout our budget as we have a need to put more, to put some money in different places to due to our needs. The contingency funds we do not anticipate using. So we fully anticipate ending the year with a contingency amount of that level. So our total operating budget, we're at 48.8% expended at this point. What's wonderful about that number is we are 58% through our fiscal year. So we are well under budget with the amount we've expended at this point. Mrs. Hudson and I regularly look at our budget, look at our account codes, look at where we are, and make decisions on how we're allocating funds based on the budget. So it's something that we spend a lot of time and effort doing to make sure that we remain under or at budget for all of our areas. This next section is the expenditure summary. This shows the state uses different account codes, and this shows how our spending lines up in those different account codes. So here, what we're looking at is to be below that 58% mark as much as we can. So, whoops, there's a few places where you're going to see us not being there. For example, on a vacation and sick leave payout, that's a one-time fee. So, of course, when we paid that, we're at 100%, but we're not anticipating any more of that. We're below the 58 percentile in just about every other category. We did have some expenses that we paid out to Mr. Benz that we hadn't anticipated in the initial administration budget, which is what has put the school administration a little over, but that's balancing out as we go through the year. And then you can see our total salaries is at 55.9%, so we're under the 58% mark. Our total employment costs, other employment costs, are at 52%. Again, we're under. And then what you'll see is on contracted services, we're right at the amount that we had planned. We're at 57.7% expended. All of those areas, there's a few places where it's at 100%, for example, in the auditor's side and in the insurance side. That's because that's a one-time payment, and that payment has been made to both the insurer and the auditors. As far as the association dues and conference fees, part of that contingency or part of the unallocated money just needs to move over to cover that, so that balances out and doesn't look off on our budget. And then going down further on that report, or on that section of the report, supplies and materials were at 53.1% expended, and our grand total in all categories is 47%, and again, we're at 58% of the year. So we are, and that's something that we did last year as well, was really, really watched our spending according to what we had budgeted, which allowed us to end the year with a significant reserve, and it'll allow us to continue to build that reserve for future years. So below that, what you can see is, again, that description where it breaks down the salaries and the other employment costs. This is something that Mr. Benz used to talk about as being a very important look at how we were doing fiscally, and it shows the categories, and it shows that we are at or below. It's just that summary of the above lines, but it shows that we are at or below the 58% mark with a total of the 47% expended. And then the last page, let me just turn this. This is that report where I took two former reports and put them into one so that it made more sense. It was easier to follow the money from beginning to end. So what this shows is all the appropriations that we're currently managing, how much we had budgeted, the receipt to date, the percent received, and again, you'll see that we're right at the 100% mark in most of these areas. Any money that we're anticipating still to receive, what we have available, the amount we've encumbered, meaning that we have planned to spend but we haven't yet spent it, the expenditures, the money we've already spent, what percentage expended we're at in that appropriation line, and then the total balance. I do want to point out there's two places that that I'm sure will catch your attention. One being the negative, and I'm highlighting it. I hope you can see that. We have negative $1,411.63 under appropriation 00100. That's unfunded payroll. That's been since corrected. It just shows up on the report because of the way the reporting hits and the way our payroll hits. So Mrs. Hudson is taking care of that, and the person has been paid and the money has been moved out of the unallocated payroll and into the proper line. And then if you go down almost to the bottom of the page, you'll see on the federal funds, we definitely pay a lot of attention to the use of our federal funds and the expiration date tied to our federal funds. So the key with that is making sure that we spend the proper percentage that we need to spend, but also making sure that we spend our old money first. And we definitely have done that. That amount of $4,944.72 in the negative was because we spent out the FY20 funds, and now that just got moved to be paid out of the FY21 funds of that same appropriation. So we're just making sure that we're spending old money before new, and making sure that we spend the money before it expires, and making sure that we are using all of our funds the way they're intended and allowed to be used. So. And then below that, again, you see that same chart. Sorry, my computer gets a little happy when I click. You'll see that same chart that we had on the page prior, where it breaks down those the different description of expenditures, and then shows you the percentage expended that we are. Do you have any questions on any of that?
I do not.
Okay.
Actually, the only thing that I thought about when we were on the first page and the contingency as well as the unallocated funds, and so the only thing that I thought about was with the expectation of the CARES Act. I guess I imagine there's those funds in your mind are already being allocated. And I think there's a possibility that unallocated amount would increase, I guess, given, there's, leftover money that you don't have.
It could. More than likely, it's going to fall into one of the other categories above, because as we write to receive the CARES Act as well as the $750,000 expansion grant, we have to say what categories we'll spend that in. So then we just naturally put that into those categories so that that's easy. Contingency funds are more of our the local funds or such that we didn't really have tied to anything, and there's no real rules tied to the use of the contingency funds. That's the way that we have it on this, in the way we're doing our accounting.
Okay.
Okay. And here we are back with the agenda. Okay.
Can we move to our principal's report?
Okay. So I will say things are going really well here at the Academy. We now have a waiting list with our enrollment, which is super exciting to be this early in the year and already have that. We have enough applicants to have two kindergartens full and to have the rest of our grades full as well. So we've been doing virtual tours of the Academy for our families, and it's been really exciting. Actually, it's kind of nice because most of the tours end up with one or two families, so it feels more personal when I do those tours with them. And while they don't get to go through the school and see the school, we do get that opportunity to really talk to our families and answer any questions they may have, and make sure that they understand what we are able to offer. And I will say that they're choosing to come here because of what we're able to offer. We've got, other than that, things are going, they're going really well. We've had, thankfully, the COVID situation has been pretty quiet. We haven't had to do any notices about staff or students I'm going to knock on wood on that one for quite a while. Since our return in January, we've been doing good. So it's exciting to see the numbers going down and to just know that the safety precautions that we're taking here at the school are working, and that we feel like we're being safe and we feel like we are safe. So I think that's definitely been a key component. We did do some adjustments with some of our positions. So we did kind of split two roles. So Ms. Postal's role got switched over to being the supervisor of student services. And then Mr. Hudson moved into the supervisor of instructional services role, just as we continue to grow and knowing that hopefully our 7th and 8th grade gets approved, that those changes are really necessary. And then Mr. Jones, who has been our behavior specialist, has now received a title of dean of students. So okay. Very, very well deserved on all of their parts, and we still work very much as a team. So while everyone has their areas of responsibility, we all have the responsibility to our students and our families, and that's something that I think anytime you walk through the school is very clear, and that's one of the pieces of feedback we've received from our families as well. We did have public comment, which went really well. It was super exciting to hear all of our families that got on, as well as our staff that got on and just spoke highly of what we're doing here. And we have also surveyed our families about their intent to remain for next year, because if they're not, with knowing we have a waiting list, we want to make sure we're opening those spaces up to incoming students. And at this point, I believe we only have 4 students not staying with us, including those going into 7th grade with their intention to stay with us. So we're doing a really great job with the retention as well.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's really good to hear. And I'm also very impressed but not surprised that we have a waiting list, because for those of you who don't know, when Dr. Marinucci started 2 days before the staff did, she promised that the school was going to have a waiting list, and she's delivered. I mean, on probably all the promises that she's made, you know, so far, and I know she's got her list. But, you know, that's one thing, you know, we've been pleased as the board, you know, to watch the school grow and flourish under Dr. Marinucci's leadership, as well as the staff. I mean, being so supportive, but, you know, I can only imagine, you know, that their support is, you know, somehow tied to you. So we appreciate that.
Thank you.
But, yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, you've just been, you know, you know, board meeting after board meeting, it's always something else, you know, that you have, you know, that's positive to offer. And we're at waiting list. And I mean, that's awesome. That's amazing. I mean, we've gone from, you know, worrying about numbers to now having waiting lists. I mean, and that's just phenomenal. And so that's really good to hear. And I'm sure that, you know, everybody else on the board would echo those sentiments.
Thank you. Do you want to trade places for the teachers?
So with that, if there's nothing else from the principal.
No. I'm going to trade spots.
Start our teachers report.
I was wondering why you kept looking, but I guess you were looking at the
calendar.
On the board?
Yeah.
I was like, why is she looking at me? I was like, should I move? We've just been going with it still. Hybrid's been a challenge, but we're growing with it. I think the kids are learning a lot, and I think that we were in the spirit of making things happen. That's what it's all about. So the kids are learning many things. If I mean, they're learning about technology too. So, and my 6-year-olds can share their screen, which blows my mind. I'm like, share your screen with me so I can help you get through this. And they're like, oh, okay, click, click, click. I'm like, but
sharing
the screen is huge.
Don't go anywhere yet.
Okay, I'm ready to go. I'm in the hot seat all day.
just one question. Have you noticed any changes in the number of kids that are actually coming in person now since you started back in January? I know before I think we might have had like 2/3.
Yeah. I feel like there has been like a slight little, no, I'm not going to say a push, I'll say a shove, of kids coming to in person that were remote. But the good thing is they already know the routines, the expectations, the procedures. It's just a little bit different in class, but they actually have to do the work on the paper, like,
But it's been okay. We're making space for them and trying to keep them 6 feet apart with their mask on. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's good. Yeah, my kids had their 2 in-person days today and tomorrow, and I usually quiz them when they get home. And like, so how many kids were in the class today?
Yeah,
and they're at postal weight, in 7th and 8th grade, they're at postal weight, and so they're maximum 7 kids in class.
Wow.
Now mind you, they only get to go 2 days for like 2 weeks, and then they're home.
Wow.
For like 2 weeks. It's kind of like every 2 weeks kind of change rotation, and they have 3 different groups. So my kids are in different groups.
Yeah, no. I like having them 5 days a week. I feel like we can really like build a connection that way, and like we know each other, and like I like it, having them 5 days a week. But I think my class has gone from like 10 to 12 now. So I have 12 in person. I have a couple that are hybrid, so that some days they're in schools, and then if they're not, they're at home. So I have a desk for them still, so it's just kind of, we just go with it. It's fluid. It's a pencil year. Nothing's in pen.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yes. Now I can go. I'm just teasing. To my seat. That seat has power.
I'm sorry, what'd she say?
She said that seat has power. She likes to sit in the other seat.
Yes. I don't want to sit down.
Now a great responsibility.
Right? Yes.
All right, so seeing Dr. Irwin is not here, we're going to skip the PTO report. Is there any announcements, anything that we should announce for the good of the order?
I would say the only other announcement would be that, sorry, I'm pointing over your head.
I feel guilty.
The next public hearing is April 6th.
Okay.
For our expansion.
You have a time on that?
It's at 5 o'clock, and it's going to be through a meeting, an online meeting.
Maybe that's spring break week, isn't it?
Yes,
it is.
April 4th.
What? Get out of here.
Well, the first public comment was on a holiday for us, so it makes sense that the next one would be on spring break.
April's
3rd. No days off at DOE, I guess.
No.
At 5 p.m. So what happens at the public comment?
That is an opportunity for anyone to give comment, whether it be... So the academy... is allocated 15 total minutes for board and staff to speak, and then after that they give 3 minutes to any person of the public who wishes to make comments. So we just had the one session of public comments, and at that session we had a number of staff that came and many spoke, and then we had a number of parents that spoke. And we had one student that spoke, which was really awesome. So I think if you remember last year when you were with me at that public comment, I think was when we had that one student that spoke and pretty much brought us all to tears about how he was saying, how he loved his academy and his teachers and how he's learning so much. And so it's always awesome to hear from the students.
For the committee too.
Absolutely.
All right. So, are there comments? No announcements. We can conclude the meeting.
Okay. Do you want to make a motion?
Sure. I'll make a motion to conclude the meeting.
I don't think I can motion.
I second the motion.
Okay.
All right, well.
Oh, we don't have to make a motion.
We
don't have a quorum.
LOL.
To vote anyway, so. But hey.
Just for fun.
Yes. How formal we are.
All right, well, everybody have a good evening. You